Good to see everybody out this morning. Always a wonderful blessing to be able to gather together as we had the opportunity to do so this morning. Come out and study God's Word as brought out. We welcome out our visitors that are with us this morning and always welcome you back to join with us any opportunity you have to be with us. We have gone throughout our services this morning and have already said a couple of prayers. And looking at the life of Christ, we know that He Himself prayed often. He prayed so often that He prayed enough to where His apostles, the many disciples that were with Him constantly, even asked Him to teach them how they ought to pray like Him. Prayer is brought out numerous times throughout the Word of God. First time I had done a lesson, an entire lesson just focused on prayer, I was kind of shocked on how many times it is brought out throughout the Word of God. It is mentioned a lot. And when people go to pray to God, when people would pray, why they pray, and looking at, of course, what Jesus would do time and again, how He was constantly praying. So I want to look at a few passages this morning and see and talk about prayer. And main focus is prayer in our life, prayer in a Christian life, and just looking at the Word of God. We're not going to be looking at all the verses throughout the Word of God that mention prayer, but understanding prayer a little bit better. First one I want to bring out about prayer is to look and see when it is we should pray. It is a question of how often should we pray? When do we need to pray? And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, if you open your Bibles with me there, Ephesians 6 and verse 18. In Ephesians chapter 6, and you start there in verse 10, it goes in and talking about how we need to put on the whole armor of God. It goes forth and, of course, makes mention that we don't fight flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the principalities of this world, against the evil things, and it's a spiritual battle that we face every day. And, of course, then it goes forth and lists is the armor of God, the spiritual armor of God. And as Paul continues on these points, he gets to verse 18, he says, praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We're praying always. Paul seemed to be always praying. In the books or the letters that Paul wrote, you'll see that he often makes mention of praying for his brethren. He seems to always be praying himself. And in this time of moment of putting on the armor of God and being ready to fight the good fight, he says we need to continue to pray. We need to continue to have God on our side, continue to pray to Him to strengthen us, to teach us how to use this armor, to make sure that we're ready to use this armor. So pray all. Always praying to our God. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 telling us to pray without ceasing. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean every waking second that you're awake that you need to be praying. But constantly praying to God daily. And not just once a day, but throughout the day, making prayer to God. There are numerous reasons of why we should go to pray to God. We'll talk about a few of them this morning. But we need to pray to God. We should pray to Him in times of good deeds going on in our lives and being thankful for what He has blessed with. Praying for those hard times when we are sick and when our spiritualness is weak and we need His strength and help. Praying for one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Praying for our enemies, praying for this world, praying for the weak, praying always. There's always something to be prayed about.
should always be praying. Pray without ceasing. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 41. It says, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, of course, this is Jesus speaking to his apostles as he's in the garden. And as he went to pray himself, and they kept on falling asleep. They kept on going back to sleep, and they were weary and tired. Jesus, of course, knowing what's about to happen, and his apostles, his disciples, don't fully concept that he's about to be taken, that he's about to be crucified. And so, therefore, they're letting the tiredness overtake them. And he says, "Watch and pray, lest temptation overtake you." I believe that still applies for us today. We need to have that mindset in us today that we always ought to be watching and praying. Because Satan is out there like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Therefore, we should always be watching, always be praying, that we are ready for when temptation comes at us, and that we are able to overcome the temptation. That we will have the strength that Christ had to live faithful to our Father. We always need to be watching and praying. Matthew 25, verse 13. Here doesn't make mention of prayer in itself, but it says, "Watch, therefore, you know neither the day nor hour in which the Son of Man comes." The idea and mindset that we don't know when our last day is. We don't know when Satan is going to try to hit us hard. We don't know when our weak moments is just right around the corner. The idea of continuously watching, because we never know. We never know when we're going to have that opportunity to go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness. We don't know the next opportunity that might come up that you'll have to sit by yourself and say a good prayer, thanking God for all the things He's blessed. To pray for someone who we know needs our prayer. We don't know when the end is coming. We always need to be praying. Constantly having God on our mind. Sometimes it matters of a short prayer. You just have enough moments to say a quick prayer thanking God for the day, or just a quick request for His help. When you have time for a good one-on-one prayer with our Father up in heaven, take it. We need to constantly keep God on our minds and pray to our Father. And when we go to God in prayer, and we pray, we need to pray with faith. Believing that God is hearing what we have to say. Faith that there's a reason to be talking to our God. Believing that He can answer our prayers. Why go to prayer? Why talk to our Father? If you don't believe, you don't have faith. Mark 11, verse 24. Mark chapter 11. And then in verse 24 it says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you'll have." Understand, as he prays for this and he talks about, you know, enough faith to be able to move mountains, or the faith of a mustard seed to grow. Once again, it's not saying we pray to God for the greatest wealth in this world. And we pray for the worldly things of this world. And we believe and we know he can provide. You know, he can provide you with that great truck that I don't. I'm not putting anything past the power of our Father in heaven. He's created all things. That's not what it's talking about. It's not saying if you pray enough about
gaining the riches of this world that he's going to grant. Having enough prayer for those times where we don't think we can overcome these temptations of the world. And he can give you the strength to do it. In those times, as we're talking about our personalities and our different characteristics in our Bible class, in the adult class, and we're talking about maybe our weaknesses that we have and not able to maybe step up and teach class, or able to step up and present a lesson, or to lead a song, or to go visit, or go door knocking, or whatever it may be. We pray to God to give us the strength to overcome these weaknesses or these fears we have. He can grant you. He can help you. He can lead you in the right direction. Pray to God. Of course, he talks about forgiveness. And he certainly can forgive us for our sins. We have to believe in what we pray. In Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 7, Matthew 7, when you read there in verse 7, it says, Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who finds, to him who knocks, it will be opened. The thing is, if we don't ever ask, how can we receive? If we don't ever seek for the truth, pray for God to show us the right path, how can you expect to find it? How can we expect for the door to be opened unto us? Seeking for his guidance or his wisdom. In James, he tells us, even for wisdom, James chapter 1 and in verse 5. James 1. We'll start there and in verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let no man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. It says that if we need help, if we need strength, if we need forgiveness, if we're looking to God, we must have faith. Or faith that he's there. Faith that he is real. Faith that he will listen to me. He will listen to you. Sometimes we get that mindset of my problems ain't as great as others, so why would I pray to God for these things? God cares for each and every one of us individually. Jesus has come down and died on the cross for you individually. If he could save one soul, he would come down. That's all that was there. You understand when we pray to him, we have to believe it. We have to have enough faith that he is there for us. I believe we often forget about the next point I want to bring about. We talk about believing in God. We talk about having faith that he will answer our prayers. We also have to act upon our faith when we pray. Act upon our faith when we pray. In James chapter 2, when you start there in verse 14 and you go throughout the remaining of the chapters in verse 26, it talks about faith without works is dead, and I believe that greatly applies to our prayer life. So many today might pray to God in the hard times. And they like to pray to God for someone to get better. We like to pray to God when our life is struggling, we need more money. We like to pray to God for another job. But yet people often don't get up and do anything about themselves. I'm looking for the opportunity to do good. We want to do good. Do we ever truly seek it out? We look for that opportunity that God has granted. Now, James chapter 5 and verse 44. Not James, Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Matthew 5:44 says, But I say to you,
Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and curse you. Pray for our enemies. Pray for those who do wrong to us, that we don't get along with. But do we do anything to try to help? We pray to God to maybe give yourself patience. Pray that maybe they're enemy because they're the ones that are always tempting. They're always poking at you. Have you asked them stuff? Have you invited them to the church? Have you explained why it is it maybe bothers you? Maybe some people don't even realize that they're getting on your nerves. So we pray and pray, but then we don't do anything ourselves. They're an enemy, to the extent of the church or God's work because they are teaching something different. Because they believe in something that goes against the Word of God. Have we tried to show the right path? Pray with faith, but willing to step up also. In James 5, James chapter 5, and in verse 13. James 5 and in verse 13, it says, if anyone among you suffer, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing a song. Is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save us. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. That you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Prayer, faith, and willingness. I like to use the illustration. We pray to God to help us spiritually, to make us stronger, to help us overcome our temptations, to make us better Christians. But then do we do anything to help them make us strong? You go to see the doctor, you go to see your physician, and they prescribe you something to help you get better when you're sick. Or you go to a physical therapist, they tell you what you need to do in order to strengthen certain things. But if you don't listen to them, what good is it to take that advice? What good is it to pay the money and go see the doctor? There's no good. So when we pray to God, when we're spiritually sinking and we need to grow stronger, we want to overcome temptation, do we start opening up our Bibles and study? Do we gather together with the brethren and Christian brothers and sisters in Christ more often so that the temptations of the world aren't there as much? Do we get ourselves out of the situation that temptation lies? Remove yourself from those who may be tempting you. We have to act upon these things. We know that there are struggles. If we know that there's something there, and we pray to God for help, look for the opportunity that He's given. I think of the illustration, maybe you guys have heard it before. I don't know if I brought it up here once or not. But a man who's out in the ocean, and he's not in a great boat or anything, and a great storm has come up. His boat won't get him back to shore, but yet a greater ship has come by and tries to get him to jump on their ship so they can take him. And he says, no, I've prayed to God, God will save me. And then the next thing, another ship comes by. They tell him, join us, we're heading. He says, no, I pray to God, God will save me. Then a helicopter comes by and they try to rescue this man. And this guy says, no, I pray to God, God will save me. Guy drowns. God comes to face God and says, why didn't you save me? He says, I sent three things to come to save you. You can't take one. We don't look to take the opportunity that God blesses us with when we pray for certain things. We have to be ready to act upon our faith, act upon our prayers to God.
praying for all saints. We've already read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, where he says, praying always. But at the end of the verse, he says, with all supplication for all saints. For all the saints. You look, once again, you look at the beginning of most of the letters that Paul writes. And he makes that mention, praying for you always. Praying for you as much as often as you come to mind. He was always praying for the work of the church and his brothers and sisters in Christ. Praying that they remain faithful. That's why he would write these letters to them. And he would send brethren to take these letters to them so that they would come back and so that he would know how they were doing. You might look up at one another and brothers and sisters in Christ and say, man, I wish they would step up right here. But yet, we don't ever go and encourage them to do it. We don't see if we can help them at all. Or we know a brother and sister in Christ who has fallen away, and we say, man, I pray and wish that they would come back, but yet we don't send them a card, we don't give them a phone call, we don't visit them. We have to act upon that prayer that we've made to God. Because God may be ready to help that person, may be ready to answer that prayer, but He wants to use you. He wants to use you to answer that prayer. To help get that work accomplished. We have to be ready to take the opportunities that God grants us. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. It says here, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. When we talk about, church growing, here it says, pray to God that He'll send out people who are going to labor, who's going to go plant the seed. Understand, we're the planters. We need to be out there. When the end comes, the angels are the harvesters. Read throughout the Word of God about the end, the last day. God's the one that's going to cause them to grow. You look at Paul's example, he says, I made plant, Paul has made water. God's the one that gives the increase. We have to go out and do our part. We have to be willing to do the work. We pray to God for forgiveness. Acts 8, verse 22. Here's the example of Simon the sorcerer. He had surely been a Christian at this time and point. Philip had preached to him. He had obeyed the gospel with the Samaritans. But after seeing what the apostles could do, he asks and tries to bribe them to be able to gain this gift of the Holy Spirit, to pass on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they told him here in Acts 8:22, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. But see, understand, if we continue in that path of sin and only pray for forgiveness, but continue in sin, God forgive me. For swearing. God, forgive me for being a drunk. God, forgive me for this wrongdoing of mine. But then you go back and do it the same day, the very hour, the next day. If we don't strive to pray for it getting kindness, completely putting it in kindness, and repent of the sin, we can't seek forgiveness and it will do us any good if we're not willing to put it in kindness. To repent. To act upon that prayer. We have to pray with words. Understand, as we pray to God, we have to be willing to understand. We have to be willing to understand God's prayer. We talked about that kind of in the adult class here, understanding one another. Understanding why it is they go this way, why it is they act like that. And when we pray to God, we have to be willing to understand Him. Why it is He might have not let that take place in our prayer. We pray for a certain thing to happen. The answer may be no. The answer may be down the road. Maybe sometime that it finally happens. We have to be willing to accept it. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, there it tells us that we will pray with understanding, that we will pray with spirit.
also talks about singing with spirit, singing and understanding. Praying with our heart, praying with faith, and praying understanding. God's will may be different than what you want to be done. What you desire to happen may be a different idea of what God knows should take place. Sometimes we have to accept what God has to say about our prayer. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, Jesus, being once again the ultimate example, one who remained faithful till death, he even prays for that himself in Matthew 26 and in verse 39. Matthew 26 and verse 39. As it reads here, it says, he went a little further, fell on his face, praying, saying, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you." Remember, he says, if it is possible, if there's any other way that our sins, that mankind can be forgiven, that they can have a way into heaven, that Satan can be conquered, that death can be conquered, that sin can be conquered, please God, let it happen. Please, Father, let it take place. It says, don't let my will get in the way of your will. Because Jesus knew what he was about to suffer. He knew he was about to be crucified, and he was about to be scourged, beaten, spat upon. I don't think anyone wants to go through that. He was willing to go through that. He wanted to save us. He wanted to be pleasing to his Father, to our Father. Therefore, he was willing to go through. Even when it comes to our judgment, there in John 5 and verse 30, that's what Jesus says. He says, when judgment comes, I will judge as righteous because it won't be according to his own will, but according to the will of our Father. That's why it's going to be a righteous judgment. He's not going to sit there and look at the people and judge them by his own desire. As we might be caught up in doing today, saying, well, I like this better. I like the way they look better. They offered me some money. They were there for me at this time. I know they've gone off at now, but they were here then. Now, of course, I know Jesus being a righteous judge, but put yourself in his shoes in the end of time when he's judging. Say some of those people who were there when he was beaten, scourged, he was mocked, they were the ones shouting, "Crucify." Maybe some of them were the ones that had turned there in Acts chapter 2. They had been baptized, and they may have remained faithful to death, but on that day of judgment, he said, "I remember your face in the crowd saying, 'Crucify, crucify.'" And I hold a grudge and say, it's not going to be according to his will. It's not going to be according to his personal experience. He's going to judge according to the commands that God has given us. 1 John 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. It reads here, it says, Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of. Again, it goes on that point of understanding when we go to God in prayer. And whatever we ask, yes, we have the opportunity to receive. But it's within reason. If it's within the right mind of prayer. That's not saying you can't pray to God that you get a raise. That's not saying you can't pray to God that you get a better job opportunity. These are things that you pray to God. But understanding that he might say no. Because that new job opportunity might take you somewhere too far to travel from church, and it might be weakening your faith spirit.
have to understand when we go to God. But also in the mindset that we have to be ready to thank God. It's not always about praying for help and praying that He do certain things for you. Make sure we give thanks to God for all that He has already done. Thanks to God that He's willing to even listen to us. Praying and thanking Him for all these things. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. It's telling us there, pray without ceasing. But in verse 18 it says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks for what He's done for us. Thanking Him. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6. Ephesians 4 and in verse 6 and 7 it says there, it says that going through the one God, one Father of all, above all, through us all, and in us all, was one Lord and Savior that was willing to die for us. And verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure. Moving on to the next point in Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. You will. Colossians 4 and verse 2. As it reads there, it says, continues earnestly in prayer, being diligent in it with thanksgiving. Continuing in prayer with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us the door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Here he brings up, you know, I'm in chains. Paul's saying, I'm in prison. But just before that, he says, thanks. Make sure you give thanks for all that He has done for us. And pray that we continue to have opportunity to teach others. And someone in chains might have mindset that it's a little hard at this time and point to thank God. He says, make sure we give thanks. Praying always. We are a prayer. Just within that verse, those two verses there, it says prayer a few times. Praying, pray. Continuously praying. We need to have that mindset as we gather together, as we are apart from one another always throughout our lives. Continuously praying to our Father up there. Before we close, and understand that prayer is not for those who continuously sin. I mean continuously sinning, choosing not to put these sins behind. One who's not praying for forgiveness and strength to repent and turn from these sins. Maybe you take the example in John when the Pharisees were trying to question what Jesus has done in healing the sick. But their mindset was, well, we know that God doesn't answer the prayer of sinners. But they understood that. They get the concept of that. So they're like, well, if God was willing to answer this man's prayer and heal somebody, it must be something. But even as you study the Old Testament, you study all that is in there, and in 1 Peter, quoting one of the passages in the Old Testament, it goes in to make mention that the Lord's face is against those who are wrong. Those who are righteous, those who are continuing the right path, He will hear, He will listen. You think what God had told the children of Israel time and again, if they continue to do good, He'll bless them. They turn to the ways of the rest of the world, to those who He surrounded and worshiping idols, He would turn against them, that they would be cursed. But if they were willing to confess their sins, He would come back to them. That's the same thing for us. You think what they told Simon the sorcerer, Simon was told to repent and pray. His sins would be The eunuch had yet been baptized, but he was studying the Word of God. He was seeking the truth, so God sent him Philip. Cornelius didn't know the way yet. He did not know that he needed to be baptized, but he was a righteous man. He was one who was seeking to please God. And therefore, God sent Peter to him.
we are seeking the truth, if we're seeking to do good, God is ready to answer those prayers. God is ready to aid you in whatever way that you desire. And He can forgive any sin that you've committed. If you're willing to come forward, let it be known to Him. So if you need the prayers of the congregation, if you desire to be baptized, whatever we can do for you, we let it be known as we stand.
Last song, number 5, 4, 4.